Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you this afternoon. It's an honor to be here, to be asked to speak. I'm not a great public speaker, but I am very it's very important on what I'm speaking about today. I'll try to keep it short. I have a lot to talk about, so I'll try to talk fast enough that I can get it all in. Before I get started, I am a public educator. I teach high school business out in Plato, Missouri, on the back gate of Fort Leonard Wood. Before I get into my actual story and what I did over there, I'd like to read a quote here from Greg Mortensen. It's a book called Three Cups of Tea. If you've never read it or even heard about it, I encourage you to get a hold of it. And the quote is this. I'll read it so I don't mess it up. Education is the way we human beings will communicate and cooperate in the world rather than allowing what divides us to grow, fester, and explode. I'm going to start with the beginning. I was deployed with the 1175th Military Police Company out of St. Clair, Missouri. We got deployed over into the Saladin province in Iraq, and I was so interested in the language, the culture, the religion. I just wanted to know so much more. As an educator, a big part of being an educator is learning as well. But the prerequisite for any of that was the language. I spent the first 2-3 months playing games of charades, and that's how it all started. It then progressed into sitting with translators and interpreters, flashcards, reading subtitles on Arabic movies, and slowly I was able to pick up the language. Once I was able to pick up the language, it was probably about four or five months into the deployment. We're in the Saladin province, and it's a little story here. I got a few stories. I'm going to try to keep them quick. We're out in the Iraqi police station, and an Iraqi police officer came up to me. And I had built a pretty good relationship with him. They wanted to learn as much as I wanted to learn. He cautioned me in the best English that he could speak and the best Arabic that I could understand. I took away that we needed to stay off the road the following day. There would be a religious pilgrimage coming through from Baghdad moving up north. I went, passed it to my chain of command, and I said, I don't know these people very well, but I know them enough that we need to stay off the roads tomorrow. We stayed off the roads that day. The following day, the same route that we traveled, every single day, there was an IED that exploded. And I was so thankful to God that I was able to have that relationship with that Iraqi police officer. Learning the language did not take a lot of effort, okay? It just took me stepping out of my comfort zone and being receptive of them. A lot of people ask me, and they've read the articles that were put in the Bear Facts or a local college paper, and they say, how can you trust these people? How can you trust these people? They are killing Americans over there. And I say, I am very aware of that. Because 5 years ago, in the same Saladin province, I lost my father in Samarra. I am aware of what's going on over there. And my next answer is, who am I to judge? Okay, who am I to judge? No one has to earn my trust. I'm not anybody important that anybody has to feel like they earn my trust. You have my trust from the minute I shake your hand, look you in the eyes, and give you a greeting. And that's how I acted towards those people. We have a phrase here in America that says, screw me once, or you've heard it in a ton of different phrases. Screw me once, shame on. Screw me again, shame on me. Before that can happen, one thing has to happen. You have to give those people a chance. If you don't give those people a chance, then they're not going to give you a chance. I'm telling you, I met a ton of great people over there, and those people will take you to the end of the world. And I was talking to Secretary Carnahan right before this, and she was telling me 20 years ago about an interpreter that she had met and kept in contact. Those people are dying for a relationship with the American soldier. Dying for a relationship. And if you give them a chance, they are going to latch on. And it doesn't take anything special. All it does is take just a shake of the hand and you to look them in the eye. just your general communication skills. That's it. Not too much energy, no money involved. Just shake their hand, look them in the eye, give them a chance. So I go on about my father being killed there. And the next big thing is not only the chance, but it's about respect. It's simple principles. Genuine respect. When I was in down south for the first couple months, we pulled up into the Iraqi police station. And I'm an educator, like I said. I looked to the left and they were building a school. The little town was called Ashaki. I look over there, there's 8 teenagers over there and a few adults putting together this building that they put up brand new, and you would look at it and think it was 20 years old. But I knew as soon as I seen that building, I wanted to go over there and have a part in it. I wanted to get my hands dirty. Because like what General Danner said, being a part of the National Guard, you bring so many trades with you. We have people who build, we have people who educate. We have all kinds of trades that are in the National Guard. So a couple of us, we went over there and we got our hands dirty. We spent just one day learning. They were teaching us and we were teaching them. That next day, I came back. The kids came up to me and they loved pictures. They said, "Can you please give us a picture?" So I went back to the base and I printed off 8 pictures that said Justin and Friends. Not thinking that they can't read it. But anyway, I printed Justin and Friends. I took it back and I gave it to them. They were in heaven. Long story short, about 3 weeks in this town, in population, it had probably a few thousand in it. 3 weeks later, maybe even a month, driving down the road, I was the last vehicle in it. I saw there was some commotion up front. Of course, I got worried. Well, we keep driving, we keep moving through, and I look to the right, and there's 3 boys, teenagers, 12, 13, 14 years old, that pull out of their pocket a little picture that says Justin and Friends, and just holds it up while we drive by. They had no clue who we were. They didn't know I was in that last vehicle. Those people want that relationship. And if you're willing to step out of your comfort zone and offer them that relationship, we'd be better off. The last thing I want to talk about, I got a ton of stories, but I just need to condense it down. In conclusion here, guys, I spent a lot of time with the finance office trying to get them from being corrupt in their financial system. Probably going to take hundreds of years to happen. I worked with the financial officer there day in and day out. Probably the most corrupt individual that you had ever seen. And every day that I went in there, I shook his hand, I kissed him on the cheek, I gave him the greeting of the day just so that he knows that I was willing to build a relationship. 6-8 months later, I was getting ready to leave the country, coming back home. And I get pretty attached, and I'm telling you, I had a hard time saying goodbye. He wasn't even Iraqi, an interpreter. He was just a Joe Schmo, Iraqi police officer that just lives in the country. Nobody that you would think would be very special, but I had a hard time saying goodbye. He pulled me in the office, and he said, in my best understanding, he said, "Justin," he said, "before you came here, before this National Guard unit came here," he was aware that we were a National Guard unit. "Before you came here," he said, "we hated Americans." Plain and simple, that's exactly what he said. "We hated Americans." He said, "your unit came here 8 months ago," and he says, "I don't know what it is about you. You have so much to offer." He said, "and I will carry that on." He said, "I will pass the word." And I can attest to that, because I still have conversations in Iraq at least 3 times a week. Not with just interpreters, but with Iraqi police officers and just civilians. 3 times a week. I know that our name, our National Guard unit, is still floating in that area for the positive things that we did. He said, "I will pass it on." He said, "I need you to do me a big favor." He said, "I need you to go back to America and I need you to tell them that you met positive Iraqi people here that want to change, that are willing to make a difference." And if you ever seen a grown man cry, it's hard to see. But when you see a grown man cry that's across the country, not even the same ethnicity as you are, that you've only met that short of time, it was very hard for me to see and leave. Very powerful. It's indescribable, that experience that I had that day. General Petraeus says, if you're not familiar with what he says, one of his big things, that was ingrained in our head as we were training. Win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. Win the hearts and minds. And I use that all the time. But about 6 months into it, when I figured out that that phrase right there has to be cyclical. Once we as National Guardsmen, as soldiers, American soldiers in general, realize that they're trying to win our hearts and minds just as much as we're trying to win their hearts and minds, we'd be better off. Because they're out there, guys. There's great, great people out there. And if we're willing to step out of our comfort zone just a little bit, shake their hand and look them in the eye and give them a greeting of the day, things will change. It's going to take some time. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for letting me come up here and speak. Sorry about the jumping around because I have a lot to say. Okay? Stop me sometime. I'll talk for a couple hours probably. Okay, thank you.